Please bow your heads for the prayer of illumination printed in the bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may truly be wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading today is Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
We're going to alter the order just a little bit, okay? We'll come back to some things a little bit later. Today we are picking up our series on You Promised and looking at this promise that Jesus makes to his disciples prior to his departure about sending the Holy Spirit to them. And so that's what we'll be looking at in our message here in just a moment. But I did have a special announcement I wanted to make to you about a new hire that our church has made. And if you read the newsletter this week, you saw that we've already made that announcement. But we have hired a new pastor on our staff, Reverend Charles Pope, who is going to be our congregational care pastor. And Charles and Linda aren't here today. Charles is preaching at another church this morning, and he will be out next Sunday as well doing the same. He had already had those obligations before taking the position. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a big commissioning of Charles to this new ministry among us. And I'm very excited, as I know you are, to see him joining us in this capacity of ministry. And so please pray for him as he gets underway with it. Well, last week we celebrated one of the church's lesser-known holy days called Ascension Sunday. It doesn't get a lot of attention like Christmas and Easter and Pentecost does, but it is very important in kind of the story of the life of Jesus. We know that after his death and resurrection, Jesus appeared among his disciples for about 40 days, and he was kind of had a foot in two dimensions at that point. He was still appearing here on earth, and he had a body, and he could eat, and his disciples saw him and had conversation with him. But we also know that Jesus was different. He wasn't a ghost. He was present, but yet he could appear and disappear. And at times he was not recognized by some who had walked with him before. And so Jesus also had kind of a foot in the heavenly dimension. And so here he is in this space. But after 40 days, he ascends fully into the heavenly dimension. And there he is seated at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for us, where he rules over his church as the head. And one day we know that Jesus will come again in power and glory and bring together the heavenly, earthly dimensions in a new creation. And this is what Jesus told his disciples would happen. But before he ascended, he makes another promise. Not only that he would return, but that if he goes, then he will send the Holy Spirit. And we find this promise in John 14 and 16 and again in Acts chapter 1. Jesus keeps repeating this promise to his followers. If I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, right before where Tammy read a moment ago. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So here's the promise. Jesus says, "You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." And then 10 days later, after Jesus ascended into heaven, this promise was fulfilled. It happened on a Jewish holiday that we celebrate today as Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit came on that day and empowered the church to live the Christian life and to bear witness to the good news about Jesus. Now, the word Pentecost comes from a Greek word that is Pentecoste, and it means 50th. It was the Jewish feast celebrated 50 days after Passover. And what's fascinating is that the Jewish people celebrated on that day a very special remembrance. They celebrated the giving of the law by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. That's what they celebrated. Remember that moment in Exodus? God descends on Mount Sinai and fire and wind and earthquake. It was dramatic. It was powerful. It was awe-inspiring for those who witnessed it. And now on Pentecost, what do we see happening again? Wind, fire, the presence of God descending. At Sinai, God gave the law, but at Pentecost, God pours out His Holy Spirit. There's a connection there. Because Pentecost was a major pilgrimage festival. Jews had gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world. And at this time, the Jews were a part of what's called the diaspora. That happened when the Jews spread around and started moving into other countries, leaving the Holy Land. And for these religious holidays, these pilgrimages, they would oftentimes return back to Jerusalem to make sacrifice and worship. And Pentecost, the Feast of Booths, which is known as in most Jewish traditions, was a day when they would do that. Now, Acts 2 tells us that the disciples, they're also there in Jerusalem. They're gathered in the upper room, and they're waiting as Jesus told them to do. And suddenly, while they're in prayer, gathered together, Luke tells us in Acts, there came from heaven a sound of a fierce or mighty rushing wind. And so what we see in this is one of the first symbols of the Holy Spirit, wind. And I think this image connects directly to a promise of Jesus that we're talking about today. You will receive power. Now, Jesus, I believe, makes this connection between wind and spirit in a conversation that he has with a man named Nicodemus. You remember that story from John chapter 3, right? Nicodemus, this Pharisee, comes to Jesus in the middle of the night because he didn't want to be seen by the other religious leaders having conversation with Jesus. And in that conversation, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." And Jesus says, "So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So we can see the effects of wind, right? We can see its power, but you can't see the wind itself. And Jesus is making that connection to the Spirit of God. He says, you can see the influence and the power and the effects of it, but you don't see the Spirit. Now listen, in Mississippi, we know something about fierce winds, don't we? We certainly do. We have tornadoes, and we are in tornado season. A couple of weeks ago, a tornado hit Bogachita. Now, we have a church member that has a farm there in Bogachita, Chance McDavid. Y'all know the McDavid family. And I was talking with Chance last week, and I asked him, what have you been up to, Chance? And he said, well, it's funny you ask. He said, you know that tornado that came through Bogachita, it hit my family farm. And on our farm, we had about 100 acres of pine trees. And he said that that tornado ripped through that 100 acres and just made a pile of toothpicks out of those pine trees. And he said, so we've been there on the farm cleaning that up. Y'all, that's power, isn't it? We know the devastating effects of tornadoes, how it can just demolish homes, forests, communities. Takes big pine trees and tosses them around like tinker toys. Our landscape gets changed. Our lives forever altered in just a matter of seconds by these powerful winds. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a tornado. It's not like a tornado. It's not destructive like that. The Spirit is always working toward love because God is love. And where we see the virtue of love, then we can see the working of the Holy Spirit. And in connection to that, we know the Holy Spirit is gentle in the way that He works in our lives. He's not tame, but He's not weak either. And I wonder sometimes if the church in our day and time has settled for a version of Christianity that is respectable. You know, it's manageable, comfortable, but powerless. Think about that. Church, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need more than religion. We need more than going through the motions or learning information about God. We need the Spirit of the living God working and moving within us in our community of faith. Because when the Spirit of God is working, things get altered. They get changed. The Spirit gives us new life, doesn't He? This is one of the signs of the power of the Holy Spirit or changed lives. Paul says in Romans 8, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then He will give life to you. The Spirit strengthens us in times of weakness too. Paul prays in Ephesians 3 that believers would be strengthened with power through His Spirit, through God's Spirit, working in our inner being. So not only does the Spirit change lives and give us strength and weakness, but the Spirit also changes what we're known for. And I'm talking primarily about the virtues, the fruit of the Spirit. This is something the Spirit works inside of us. It's a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit of God gives us wisdom beyond our own, gives us courage beyond our own. And the Spirit gives us abilities and gifts that are beyond our own. Paul talks about that in Ephesians as well. And here's the thing, though. The Spirit can do all these wonderful things in our lives, but we cannot control the Spirit. We cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit. We can't manufacture a revival or a move of God's Holy Spirit. We can't schedule Pentecost. Just because it says on your bulletin that this is Pentecost Sunday, it doesn't mean that somehow we can make God do something among us. The wind blows where it pleases. But here's the key, though. The key to the spiritual life, the key to unleashing the power of God in our lives, in our church, the key is surrender. That's what we can control, is our surrender. That's the invitation of Pentecost. It's not control, but surrender. It's not look at what we can do and how we can dress with our red on. And by the way, some of y'all read the newsletter. You got red on today. I appreciate that. But the key is not look at what we can do, but it's, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Surrender. That's the part that we can work on. Now, after the wind, there's another symbol here. Fire, isn't it? The Spirit came as a fierce and mighty wind. And then, Acts 2 says, there were tongues of fire that rested on each of those disciples. Now think about this. What's the first thing the Holy Spirit empowers the disciples to do after this? Speak. Fiery speech. And I think that's what's symbolized in these flaming tongues. The gift of Pentecost is fiery speech. The Holy Spirit compels these disciples to boldly speak about Jesus, to passionately and boldly live out their faith. And this matters because Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not a system of moral advice. It is good news about what God has done in history through this man named Jesus Christ. It's an event. It's a story. And it must be proclaimed and told. And the story is Jesus, he came. He descended. He healed people. He died. And he rose again. And he ascended back to the Father. And through him, there is forgiveness of sins, there is salvation. This is the news. And the apostles, they were witnesses to these things. And that's why speech matters so much at Pentecost. The disciples, they can't stay silent anymore. The same Peter who denied Jesus before the servant girl in the courtyard on the night in which Jesus was arrested, he now stands publicly in Acts chapter 2, and what is Peter doing but preaching to that crowd, a mass of folks that have gathered in Jerusalem for this festival? He proclaims the gospel to them. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he takes fearful people and he makes them bold. And throughout church history, God has continued to raise up ordinary men and women filled with extraordinary power. People like Peter, the Apostle Paul, a man by the name of Augustine, a saint in the church named Francis of Assisi, a man named John Wesley and George Whitefield, and a man in our own time, Billy Graham. What do they all have in common? But they surrendered themselves to the Holy Spirit. The early church did not turn the world upside down because they had a better marketing strategy or beautiful buildings that people could come to. They changed the world because they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, I think many churches today are trying to do the work of God without the power of God. But Jesus did not say you will receive comfort. He did not say you will receive convenience. He said you will receive power. Power to endure suffering. Power to overcome temptation. Power to forgive. Power to resist evil in our world. Power to love difficult people. Power to remain faithful even when life and circumstances are hard. Power to proudly and boldly and passionately proclaim the message of Jesus. Church, we still need that power if we're going to do what the Lord has called us to do. Notice what happens next in Acts chapter 2. The disciples, they rush out into the streets, don't they? To proclaim the mighty work of God. Pentecost never stays inside the upper room. It never stays within these walls. But the Spirit is always pushing the church outward. Outward in mission, outward in witness, outward into the world around us. And what did begin right there in Jerusalem does spread into Judea, Samaria, and eventually the ends of the earth, because that's exactly what Jesus promised. And today, here we are, 2,000 plus years later, we're still talking about Jesus. We're still proclaiming this good news. And we're still depending and relying on the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus has called us to do. So what about us today? What about Clinton Methodist Church? What about our own lives? We still need God's empowerment. We need a fresh outpouring of God's presence in our lives and in this church. We need power to live faithfully in a confusing world. We need power to love as we have been loved. And we need power to witness, to reach people who are lost and separated from God. So our invitation today is not to try harder. You need to do better. But the invitation is we need to surrender more deeply. We need to put ourselves in a posture of receptivity, to pray, to ask, to seek, to open our hearts up to God. Because the promise of Jesus, it still stands. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So today, let us surrender. And that's what we're going to end our service with. Surrender ourselves again to God and to what only God can do. So let us, Tommy, if we're able, to sing Spirit of the Living God as an invitation. And we're going to take a moment to just pray around that after we sing. Let this be your prayer.